Thank you, Edgar.
No problem.
Thanks.
So are the attendees in?
Yes. Yes, you can get started.
So welcome everyone to the webinar today on cyber training and Skype. Good afternoon. I'm Ashok Srinivasan. I run the cyber training panel along with my colleagues, Jen Lee, Sharmista Bagchi Chen, and Sheikh Gafu. We will also have a presentation on the Skype program by my colleague, Tom Gulbranson. Our program has grown a lot since last year, and we expect to get even more of you submitting proposals this year. So let me go to discuss the cyber training program part of it first. So the webinar goals are to first to orient the research community to the revised cyber training and Skype solicitations and summarize the program and review criteria. Then we will answer questions. We hope that these will improve your understanding of the solicitations and help better align your proposal with the program goals. We start the presentation with an overview of cyber training program followed by Skype. We will highlight important aspects with the details left to the solicitation. We will then take questions from the webinar participants. A recording of this webinar will be available on the program page. For the purpose of the solicitation, CIE refers to advanced cyber infrastructure, which includes software, data, related methods, and services for advanced computation, large-scale data handling, networking, and security, to enable and transform science and engineering research. The target community is at various stages of their career pipelines, comprise undergraduate and graduate students, researchers and educators, as well as CI professionals. The cyber training and Skype program focus on three different scientific communities. The first is CI contributors. They are computational and data scientists typically, who research and develop new CI capabilities, new approaches and new methods. CI users are domain scientists typically. Domain scientists are engineers who want to effectively exploit advanced CI capabilities and methods for their research. Finally, CI professionals constitute the community of research CI and professional staff who deploy, manage, and support the effective use of research CI. We now discuss the cyber training solicitation and its motivation. Understanding its motivation may help you align the proposal with the program's goal. The cyber training program is motivated by the increasing role of advanced CI in enabling science across a variety of domains. The research workforce would benefit from innovative training and curricular materials that are tailored for the target disciplines. There is also a need to foster broader adoption of existing CI resources and tools and methods by diverse research communities. OSC has several programs related to CI that may include some overlapping goals. We present somewhat idealized view that may enable you to choose the right program for your needs. However, this is a simplified view and a solicitation would provide more detailed guidance. So please use this only as for a high level view. If you want to develop software or data repository, then you may wish to look at the CSSI program. You would produce a community sustained CI to enhance the CI ecosystem available for research or education. If you want to perform research that will enable future CI, you may want to look at the OAC core program. The deadline is passed, but if you want to apply to the next cycle, you would typically develop techniques and a CI prototype that will yield the program knowledge needed for future production CI. Now we come to the two solicitations relevant to this webinar. If you want to deploy CI professionals and also foster their careers, then the Skype program may suit you. Your CIP will support research that leverages CI and would establish career paths for them. This may particularly benefit groups that are currently underserved with respect to the use of CI for research. If you want to provide training on CI for research purposes, then the cyber training program may interest you. You would develop a scalable and sustainable training to help increase the research workforce that can leverage CI. Note that this is for a research workforce development rather than a general workforce, and that it should be for research that is enabled by CI. And note that we are the CI cyber training program targets all three communities, training for all three communities, including the cyber infrastructure professionals. The Skype program focuses on deploying CIPs. Okay, so that's a distinguishing factor. That is, are you providing training? The cyber training program is about providing training. So the text and highlighted in boldface are important. You have to provide training. It has to be related to using CI for research purposes. Okay, so these are distinguishing factors of the CI of the cyber training program. So cyber training program's goals are to prepare, nurture, and grow the national scientific research workforce for creating, utilizing, and supporting advanced cyber infrastructure to enable and potentially transform fundamental science and engineering research and contribute to the nation's overall economic competitiveness and security. The project should aim to contribute to larger goal of an educational ecosystem enabling computational and data-driven science for all scientists and engineers. This embraces computation as the third pillar and data-driven science as the fourth pillar of scientific discovery, in addition to the traditional first and second pillars of theory and experimentation. The specific solicitation goals are to ensure broad adoption of CI tools, methods, and resources by the research community in order to catalyze major research advances and to integrate core literacy and discipline-appropriate advanced skills in advanced CI as well as computational and data-driven science and engineering into the nation's educational curriculum and instructional fabric, spanning both undergraduate and graduate courses to advance fundamental research. We are personally keen on broadening CI access to groups that are currently underserved in its use. Okay, so the broadening could be by a variety of criteria. It could be by institution, it could be by scientific community, it could be by underrepresented groups, and so on. The cyber training program is led by the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure in the Directorate for Computing and Informational Science. However, it includes participation across the National Science Foundation from all the other three divisions in size, the education division, the geosciences directorate, the NPS directorate, SBI directorate, and so on. The directorates and divisions have specific programmatic areas of interest that are described in the solicitation. So let me highlight that one intent of the cyber training program is to stimulate co-funding between OAC and one or more science or engineering domains or directorates. So prospective PIs are strongly encouraged to contact the cognizant program officers in OAC, but also in the participating directorate or divisions relevant to the proposals to ascertain whether the focus and budget of the proposed activities are appropriate to the solicitation. If you send me or the other PD a one-page summary and identify other divisions of interest, we will share it with the other division PDs and get back to you. So we'll now review the three provisions of the current solicitation. There are three project classes. The pilot projects have total budget of up to 300,000 and with a duration up to 2 years, and are exploratory activities that may lead to implementation projects. Implementation projects can be either small with total budgets up to $500,000 or medium with total budget up to $1 million with duration up to 4 years. Implementation projects make CI training and educational activities and curricular and instructional materials broadly accessible to a significant portion of a community for one or more disciplines. Medium implementation projects also foster a community to catalyze the adoption of advanced CI methods or to incorporate training resources and materials into the curriculum. All proposals should have well-identified proposal elements that clearly address the solicitation-specific review criteria listed here, in addition to addressing the standard NSF intellectual merit and broader impact criteria. Reviewers will be asked to address the following questions. That is, do you have a rationale for challenges identified for research workforce development? Proposals should address at least one of these two criteria. Okay. That is, the strength of the projects, are you broadening the use of CI methods and resources by the research community, or are you integrating CI skills into the institutional and disciplinary curricular and instructional fabric? Okay. At least one of these criteria have to be addressed. Strong proposals will address both these criteria. Okay. And we also expect you to coordinate with the access program as mentioned in the solicitation. Okay. Small programs will also address scalability and sustainability of the training program beyond the scope of the funding period. Okay. And we'll also, reviewers will also evaluate based on the recruitment evaluation plans and collective impact strategy, including are you having some organizational backbone to support a collective impact across many institutions, for instance, right? And medium proposals, in addition, will also foster a suitable community by broadening a community that uses such tools and training for research purposes. So note that access coordination can be along two directions. You may actually share material and access to knowledge base, or you, and you may also share your expertise by registering through access. So the programmatic areas of interest are mentioned in the solicitation. A common theme is to provide discipline appropriate training on one or more topics or related to CI for research purposes. Okay, so please see this solicitation for details. Each division will have their own priorities on what to focus on. I also want to mention that there's opportunity for you to use leverage resources provided by NSF-supported research providers for your in your training program. Okay, so the HPC's resources can be obtained through an access allocation. High throughput computing resources can be obtained through PARC, and cloud computing resources can be obtained through CloudBank. So please see the solicitation for further details. So with this, I will pass on the podium to my colleague, Tom Gulbranson, who can talk about the Skype program.
Before you pass on, should I start with the beginning slide again?
We covered it.
You covered it?
Ashok, I think you have to stop sharing so that I can start.
Yes, I stopped sharing. Oh, sorry, I didn't. Okay.
So that will be the end of the cyber training section. If you have questions, please note them in the Q&A so that we can address them at the end of the handful of slides that I'm going to put up here. We'll take all the questions back and forth. I think some of them might be common to both solicitations. So if I share this screen, you should see computing resource opportunities. That's the way that people can get at the advanced cyber infrastructure that the Access program provides at very easy, quick levels with explore level and discovery level. This would be suitable for training and for letting trainees get to the programs without very much burden of trying to get an allocation. And then the larger accelerated and maximized, those are more formal, larger deployments that will go through a review process. So what I'd like to do is switch gears now to the Skype program, Strengthening CI Professionals Ecosystem. And as Ashok pointed out for a moment, I'll reinforce it again and again here, the distinction, well, there are some things in common between cyber training and Skype. The largest distinction is that when a Skype program is implemented, is executed, the outcome will be that research has advanced, that people have been deployed to help research move ahead. Along the way, there might be some training materials that are a byproduct, and they might even be added to the knowledge base that was mentioned before. But primarily, it's about helping people become ready to serve and making some connections to enable those service engagements to happen. And also, the strengthening of the ecosystem. Skype looks for change to occur at institutional levels. Not only do we want some people to become further skilled or skilled in new ways that are different than what they had, but we hope that the places where they work or that they work from are altered in a way that allows their service, the CI professional, to be recognized, to be seen as a position, to be seen as a position that has a sequence, a path, a career path. We very often hear from folks who do phenomenal work, but when the soft money is over, there's a challenge to find the next one. And so we look forward to hearing proposals about how to make those career paths clearer to recruit people and clearer for institutions to hire too and to keep people. So that's what the Skype program is trying to do as go through some of the motivating factors. Another major factor in this strengthening is the democratizing verb, right? We're trying to bring these methods to more types of science. We're trying to bring these methods to people who haven't perfected it or become excellent providers yet. So great proposals are seen as very, very good or excellent because more people are enabled to be involved with this ecosystem, as contrasted to another proposal which might recognize some number of people who are great at what they're doing, and this would give them money to do it more. That's really not broadening. That broadening impact is about furthering the breadth of people that are involved and ways that people can get involved. The CI part of this solicitation isn't just software. It can be about data. It can be about networking to do the transport needed. So it is very inclusive in the definition of what's available and to who. Whom can we make these services available, or who can we make connections with? It can be to the computational scientists who very often have some of these advanced skills, but other times maybe they need some optimization. So it's a connection to other skills that might not even be in the same institution. In fact, it's that crossover that Skype looks for. When you read through the PI expectations and the domain expertise that's called for, proposals are expected to have a PI in the cyber infrastructure and a PI from a domain or a specific discipline. Why? Because that's that connectivity that we're trying to see done in new ways to new places. In fact, that whole access program is dedicated to that same kind of reaching across to new disciplines. So a Skype awardee that does it well could perhaps in some cases teach access program how to serve, whether it's social behavioral sciences, economics, whoever, whatever researchers aren't quite yet taking full advantage of these systems, a proposal could conceivably help access to see new ways to provide these services to more communities. So it's the interfaces and the interdependencies that we're looking for, need ideas on how to do it. And I mentioned institutional recognition. So let's go on to the next slide. I think I've captured the overall vision. Other parts of this that we want to mention, that the CIP communities, such a broad word, it's trying to broaden, it's trying to connect people together. It can be regional, or it can be topical, or it can be both. Those are fine. Think of access, that access program, as a bunch of resources that are looking for places to serve. And Skype would be one of the ways to make that happen. Access has a computational science support network. What is that? It's essentially a Rolodex for those people old enough to know what a Rolodex is. It's a registry of who's good at writing code or who's good at using these algorithms. Okay, there's a scientist or a researcher that needs that. So there's a connecting or a brokering of services between. We expect the Skype trainees to become part of that network. That's one of the ways that would fulfill the solicitation expectation for service and collaboration with Access. It's not the only way. We'll talk about a couple of other ways. Democratization, I mentioned before, that means more people, more places, more communities than are currently active. And then institutional recognition, we'll keep trying to underscore that. The next is about the participation, those other domains that we want to connect with, have be driven by a science need, particularly engineering, geo, education, math, physical sciences, social behavioral and economics. And then the TIP program has joined us this year, where there's even more broad array of opportunities to provide convergent connections. So you're welcome to talk to any of the program officers, myself or others in the OAC office, but we also want you to talk to people in the directorate specifically so that we can make that proposition that would help those domains, not just make CI for the sake of CI, of need CI. $15 million is what we have earmarked for this. Not guaranteed, but that's the scale of what we hope to make available in awards this year. So it would be on the order of 4 awards, maybe less, maybe more, depending on how much people can get done with available monies. From a numbers point of view, we don't have a specific salary range for a CIP person that you can multiply by 4 and get the annual budget. We understand that there's differences in where this work will happen. And we also acknowledge that it's the budget isn't just to support the salaries or stipends to students who are doing this. It would also, your budget is allowed to include leadership and management and communications and travel and other things to make it happen. And 4 is full-time equivalence. That doesn't mean 4 social security numbers. It can be 8 people. It can be 12. It can be share whoever you want, but that's the scale that we're looking for in the way of trainees on an annual basis. I mentioned the directorates already. Who are these CIP people? Who are these professionals? It can be across the range, as long as we make the connection. You see, as long as you make apparent the connection to the domains or disciplines that you're serving. And so diversity is an aspect of broadening that we do look forward to. We'll go into the details of that. Let me just do it pictorially. The Access program is this connector, facilitator, enabler community of 5 different very large awards that are trying to find researchers with needs, find professionals that can help them, bring them together, get an allocation, get on board, do monitoring of the performance to see how the software are running. So there's a wonderful community, but it's really driven by the middle layer. It's the research needs that we're trying to take care of. So you have people at the top who are ready or will be made ready as groups, as individuals, however you see fit, from one institution. Maybe they could hop to a different institution. And there are many different programs in OAC that do this. Cyber training you've heard about. There are networks that we have, cyber teams. And then as you mentioned, as Ashok mentioned to you before, Cloud Bank and other systems are available. And then we want to see Skype providing the connectivity and new ways of doing that. That's what we're looking for. And when it's done, we hope that the people who do this so well, when the project is over, that there's a followance forward, a continuance, an institutional commitment to make it happen in the future without necessarily being funded by this program. So there was a question already raised, and I want to try to do it verbally here. What does it mean to work with the Access program? How do we collaborate? The best way to get the answer to that question is to go to this link. The Access program has a Skype link dedicated to show some of the examples of what services to Access would mean. It can sound like helping the knowledge base to grow, connecting with that computational support network to actually go to a a mentor-mentee relationship to go serve a researcher with needs. And there's testing available and there's other outreach. It is not limited to those. Those are the obvious and sort of available right now. The Access Program launched in September of 22, so it's well into its second year. But there's evolution going on there. So if you have a new idea, yeah, let's talk about that, because we can evolve it if we can find a new way to make it work. So let's go to questions. I don't know how to, I don't see them from my current mode, but certainly you're okay. Welcome to call over to myself, email otherwise, and please do remember to check with the directorates to make those connections.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Schultz and Tom. Great presentations. You might still want to leave the slides on, maybe with the slides of the contact information. Yes. Either one of you, can you leave a slides of the contact information? Yes, and then let's get to the questions and answering. The first question we have here, it's the difference between the small and medium proposal, the exploitation, the difference between the exploitation of small and medium proposals for cyber training.
So do you want me to answer that?
Yes, please, sure, yes.
Okay, so the important distinction between the small and the medium is the last criteria, that is the fostering the community, right? So in both of the proposals, you'll have scalability and collective impact. But in the fostering the community, you'll actually take active steps to broaden the community who are actually involved in that type of training and research. You know, so that is the primary distinction, the last review criteria on fostering the community. That's the primary distinction. And much larger than scale, of course.
Okay. The next question is this attendee is saying, in our review of funded projects, we see very little mention of facilitation and facilitator training. Do you see facilitator training of students applicable to the cyber training call? Ashok or Jen, you want to take the question?
Okay, right now we don't have a facilitator training. Actually, the cyber trainings are supposed to be for researchers. That's one thing we want to emphasize, the difference between the cyber training and EDU programs or training. So the cyber training is for future or current researchers and to train them to use high performance computing, to use a cyber infrastructure, to use anything you created for cyber infrastructure. That's our target audience of the training. Yeah, thank you. There's another question.
If I could add to that?
Yes, yes.
With regard to the facilitator training,
it could be called the CIP, yes.
There have been awards which you can find from past award searches at NSF. There have been awards in Skype which included some Skype trainees dedicated to a facilitation role. So it is conceivable that that form of interaction is pertinent. It might not be the only thing done, but it is sort of in play, if you will. It can be part of a mix that enables you to achieve the objectives of the Skype solicitation.
Right. So this reminded me to another question on the Skype about the interaction with the assets. I know you answer it in the online answering. Can you also use it in the video answering the question?
Yeah.
The interface between the Access and Skype.
Right.
Yes.
The Access program homepage is access-ci.org. If you add a Skype to that address, they actually now have a web page that is a live set of links to multiple ways that people who are CI professionals can collaborate or can participate with Access program. And I didn't note before, but let me do it now. So what, there are different ways to interact. The Access team has tools and has online presence. Sometimes it needs to be tested Well, that's an interaction that would be very helpful. Sometimes there's knowledge-based content. Ask CI is a platform that's used quite a bit. Answering and building the CI content is another helpful contribution. But what I didn't mention because I skipped them, unfortunately, was that the solicitation calls for 20%, at least 20% of the Skype trainees' time is to be dedicated to this collaboration with Access. Well, 20% of what? The first week? 20% of the first month? There's clearly an expectation that for a while, the teams awarded will take some time to figure out what's going on. So you can think of that 20% as kind of like a, you know, a rolling cumulative average, if you will. And also the Access program is open to figuring out how best to connect. So you can look forward to talking with Dr. Shelley Knuth, Alana Romanella, and others on the support team who are making these connections with you.
Okay, Tom, while you're on, there are a couple more questions on Skype. So one is, will there be additional funding available from EBSCOR related to Skype proposals within EBSCOR jurisdictions?
That's a heads up question. EBSCOR was not included explicitly in the Skype solicitation wording, but that doesn't preclude us from benefiting from investments available towards EBSCOR goals. So somewhat of a circuitous answer, yes. If you see opportunities to help EBSCOR targeted constituents or stakeholders, let's talk to that office and let's see, because perhaps there's co-funding which would augment or supplement the monies that we have initially earmarked for this program, which would be wonderful for all involved. Thank you for the idea.
Okay, the other one is, can an FTE in Skype award be split across multiple institutions, or is the expectation that an institute wholly employ that person?
Yeah, thanks. Good question. And it lets me cover yet another area that I probably could have spent more time on. There are six criteria called out in the solicitation that people ought to write their project descriptions towards. The very broadening overall, recognizing challenges to this, strengthening the system, recruiting and evaluation. Where are you going to find folks? How are you going to find people? And how are you going to know that it's working well? And the last one is collective impact. So the collective impact part is able to be interpreted as you see fit. Doesn't have to be to the actual citation listed, but the concept is make a difference institutionally, and making a difference in multiple institutions is a good thing too, right? It's even broader. FTEs don't have to be one person. FTEs can be spread and split as you see fit. So yes, your option of dividing the full-time equivalents across institutions is consistent with the principles or the construct. Go for it.
Okay. Next question is actually related to bio division. So there are two questions here. One is for the cyber training program, in particular with regard to broadening use of CI resources, would the questioner is asking, would I be able to include a CI resource from a directorate that was not listed on your slide, e.g. Division of Biological Infrastructure? And there's a related question also. So the another person is commenting, do not see bio in divisions. So is that excluded? So Jen, you want to respond?
Okay. For the ones, the bios not included, it just means that we might not be able to co-funded that. But if it's bio, it's important cyber training for bio researchers, we might still fund it. That's for cyber training, yes. Sure, yes.
Yeah, so let me add. So the first question had, I wasn't sure how to interpret it, because it was saying, can I use bio include CI resources from the directorate, right? So if you're saying you're including a resource provided by some directorate to provide training, you know, you're welcome to use any kind of resource. And if you mean that, should I be targeting this particular division if the division is not included? You know, typically what we do is we would get co-funding from divisions that you are targeting. And the divisions we are included in the solicitation are ones that have actually expressed interest in participating. So typically divisions that are not participating have their own programs, right? So the solicitation mentions prospective PIs contemplating submissions that primarily target communities relevant to directorates or divisions that are not participating in this solicitation are directed to instead explore the education and workforce development programs of the respective directorates or divisions. So so we are not precluding possibly funding it, but it's something you really need to think about. So you could send us a one-page outline and we can always direct you to a suitable program, you know. So that is the clarification.
Right, Tom, for Skype, how about for Skype with the two programs?
I fully support the way Ashok described it. We don't preclude work in those areas. But it is fair to note that when the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure developed the solicitation, we invited all the directorates to join. Some weren't interested. Some might not have joined because they had their own programs. And I won't be able to remember off the top of my head, but I'm sure that I saw something in the last month of a directorate that actually had a cyber training oriented program launched or was announced to be launched. So sometimes you might do well to look at the directorates that were not listed and make sure that they don't have something going already. We don't know them all. We'll try to help you refer across as well, but you can serve them through us, just won't be co-funded.
Okay, I see a couple of questions on cyber training. So one is, what would constitute an ideal pilot focus and affiliated success criteria? Would it be appropriate to have already created some basic curriculum and pilot it out in an institution, then roll it out to a wider community?
Okay, so our expectation for the pilot is that to use the opportunity to create the curriculum and then try it out. If you have done that already, then you might want to apply for implementation, which is to have you scaling up. And in terms of the first question, we have this question has many questions. For the first one, in terms of the what we're looking for, you look at the solicitation, we have a list of the criteria. We have 6 or 7 of them. Ashok has the slides. You want to go back to the slides. But the number one, it's the most important to me, it's that we're looking for the gap. If you can fill in the gap in the training, that's the number one. That's why it's the number one in the list. Right, we have a slide on that. How do we evaluate? Right.
Okay.
We can move back to the slides. Who's showing the slides right now? Is Tom or
I have it here, but I don't know which slide you want to go to.
On the cyber training.
Then your criteria for the cyber training.
Right.
Let me see if I can hop over to
the list of pilot.
Right, for the pilot, we have the first.
Yeah, that one.
Five. Yes, right. So for pilot, the first two, and then for the small, the first 5, and then for the medium, first 6. Yes.
Good. Okay, so yeah, one additional question is training undergraduate and graduate with developing curriculum materials for preparing them to be future CI within the program scope of cyber training?
You probably meant CI professionals, right? So if that is what you meant, yes, training CI professionals is very much a topic of interest to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think the following question says, how does that question apply to Skype? With regard to Skype, there could certainly be occasions where curriculum materials and content to help train some CI professionals might be made available to others and recycled. That's a wonderful thing. It's a side benefit. It's a secondary benefit, but is certainly something that we'd like to see, and it allows for that scalability, which is an important consideration to make when you're doing this. We love the idea of 4 FTEs joining the world, but seeing that success be able to multiply would be valued highly.
I think that's all the questions I can see we have. Any more questions?
Thanks for attending the webinar then. And please feel free to email us if you have any further questions.
Right. Do you have a slide about this is the criteria for reviewing cyber training? Do we have a slide for review of Skype? The criteria for
The Skype criteria and instructions for the proposal writing are more than can fit onto a slide, and I would direct folks back to the solicitation because it is fairly detailed. Maybe it's extra detailed, and it's best to go there than to try to stuff it into a couple of bullets. Ashok, is there a slide from your deck that you wanted to present?
No, I don't have anything further.
One thing, Ashok, I mean, we sometimes noted that the independent evaluator issue was not clearly covered. Do you want to just mention that?
Sure. So we need an independent evaluator. The independent evaluator may not necessarily be an external evaluator. That is, the person could be an independent evaluator from your institution, right? So that is also possible, but it has to be independent. They cannot be part of the team that is actually providing the training or creating the training material.
Right, and also usually no good to be in the same department. You know, your friend, someone outside of your college will be great, right? The same university is okay, but probably not the same department. Right.
And before people go, I would offer another question that we have received in the past. Didn't come up yet today, but I bet you it will before the due date. And that pertains to the Section 4 eligibility information, who may serve as a PI, a limit on the number of proposals per organization. And that is one Skype proposal per organization. But let's be clear, that pertains to the lead organization or the lead institution, the prime institution. If an institution appears in another proposal as a subawardee, that second appearance is allowed. It's just that we can only handle one lead recipient to be given an award to, that we can't see two of those. If the second one comes in, it will be returned without review. And the same applies to PIs and co-PIs. They're to appear, any given PI can only be a PI in one proposal per cycle. And any co-PI can only be a co-PI on one proposal per cycle. If those same names show up as a letter of collaboration or as key personnel, those secondary appearances are allowable.
Tom, could you give a little bit more clarification on the institution? So as you mentioned, if they're a lead institution, they count. If they get a sub-award, they don't count. But sometimes you can also have a collaborative proposal in which you are not the lead, but you are submitting, right? So does that count?
As I understand it, there is still a lead or a prime in the collaborative proposal submittal scenario. So the collaborating institutions behind that one or underneath that one, they structurally appear as collaborators and, if you will, littler awards, but they are not counted as the prime. So they could conceivably show up as a collaborator on another proposal or as a prime on another proposal. Might be tough to get out of your own program office twice, but that's for you all to figure out.
Right.
Thanks, Tom.
Right. So for Skype, there's something I really would like to emphasize is that you need to contact program directors before you submit, because this is a large project. you need to write a one-page summary, contact Tom. Tom, you have an email address somewhere right in the slide. So please let Tom know you want to submit and before you submit it. And I think they're pretty good at getting back to you after they're reading your one-page summary. They'll get back to you with their comments and suggestions. And then you finally submit your Sky proposal.
Yeah, those comments and feedback will not be thumbs up, thumbs down. There was nothing about, oh, that's a great idea. Just we are allowed to ensure that you understand the solicitation and that anything that's unclear is made clear and that you're compliant with the allowables.
Yes, and for cyber training, yes, Ashok, you want to go about?
The question for Sharmista, could you clarify about what we mean by domain-specific training in cyber training?
Yeah, what I think comes up a lot of time in the in the reviews and in discussions is that if you're coming from a specific domain, let's say geological sciences or material sciences or whatever, the justifying the need for cyber training in the domain, the rationale that that you are using, that means giving us evidence of the context that your innovation is a true innovation, that you're offering to do something very new in that domain. So that really, really helps the reviewers to get a context of the literature, of what has been done. So we get a clear understanding of where your contribution, scientific contribution, will be fitting in. So that's what I meant.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So again, the deadline January 18th, you're all welcome to submit. I think we can stay here a couple more minutes to answer questions. And if you have any questions, we are here. Otherwise, we can finish. We can finish earlier.
The recording and the slides will dangle off of the same.
Yes, within a week, the recording and slides. Yes.
The solicitation calls for contact with the program officers at least a month in advance, but we answered the phone beyond that point. It just would probably help you to get the feedback sooner. Given the holidays, we'll do everything we can. Some of us are expected to be pretty available.
Right. I usually ask for within 2 months. Would be nice. Some people are asking question too early and then I forgot about it. They're asking me. So within 2 months is the best time that we can still remember you. You contacted us, so we remember you when we review your proposal. Right. Yes.
All right, I think that's all I see in the seminar.
Yes. One more minute, going once, so. Thank you.
Thank you all for your interest.
Okay, so thank you all for joining us. That's it. We are at 2:20 now. So that's the time for our presentation. You can still email us if you have any questions. Thank you all. Thank you. Bye-bye.